Life Talk Radio presents Health and Longevity, the program dedicated to bringing you cutting-edge information and interviews that can change your life. On each edition, nutritionist, registered dietitian, and board-certified anti-aging health practitioner, Dr. John Westerdahl, will show you how to achieve a longer, healthier life using the latest breakthroughs in nutrition, wellness, and lifestyle medicine. And now, here's your host, Dr. John Westerdahl.
Welcome to Health and Longevity's special report, Coronavirus Disease Global Pandemic, COVID-19. I'm Dr. John Westerdahl. On today's program, we will provide with you disease prevention and life-protecting information from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention and the World Health Organization. I will also share with you information on how you can boost your immune system to protect yourself from COVID-19 infection. Today on Health and Longevity, and on the next two broadcasts of Health and Longevity, we are going to be sharing with you information about coronavirus COVID-19 and the pandemic that we are facing throughout the world today. On today's program, I will be sharing with you audio information that has been prepared by the World Health Organization. It will discuss what is coronavirus, COVID-19. It'll also discuss a little history of this virus that is affecting our world today and how it became spread throughout the world. It also will present where did this virus come from, what are some of the symptoms one can experience should they contract the virus themselves, and lastly, what you can do to prevent from contracting the virus yourself and also spreading it to others. So let's go to that introductory information about coronavirus COVID-19 from the World Health Organization.
In December 2019, there was a cluster of pneumonia cases in China. Investigations found that it was caused by a previously unknown virus, now named the 2019 novel coronavirus. We'll take a quick look at what's currently known about the virus. Keep in mind that this is a new virus, and what's known about the virus now might change in the future. Coronaviruses are a large group of viruses. They consist of a core of genetic material surrounded by an envelope with protein spikes. This gives it the appearance of a crown. Crown in Latin is called corona, and that's how these viruses get their name. There are different types of coronaviruses that cause respiratory and sometimes gastrointestinal symptoms. Respiratory disease can range from the common cold to pneumonia, and in most people, the symptoms tend to be mild. However, there are some types of coronaviruses that can cause severe disease. These include the severe acute respiratory syndrome coronavirus, first identified in China in 2003, and the Middle East Respiratory Syndrome coronavirus that was first identified in Saudi Arabia in 2012. The 2019 novel coronavirus was first identified in China. It initially occurred in a group of people with pneumonia who'd been associated with a seafood and live animal market in the city of Wuhan. The disease has since spread from those who were sick to others, including family members and healthcare staff. There are many cases at present, and the disease has spread within China and also to a number of other countries. So, where did the virus come from? It's known that coronaviruses circulate in a range of animals. Sometimes these viruses can make the jump from animals to humans. This is called a spillover and could be due to a range of factors such as mutations in the virus or increased contact between humans and animals. For example, MERS-CoV is known to be transmitted from camels and SARS-CoV from civet cats. The animal reservoir of the 2019 novel coronavirus is not known yet. How is it transmitted? The exact dynamics of how the virus is transmitted is yet to be determined. In general, respiratory viruses are usually transmitted through droplets created when an infected person coughs or sneezes, or through something that has been contaminated with the virus. People most at risk of infection from the novel coronavirus are those in close contact with animals, such as live animal market workers, and those who are caring for people infected with the virus, such as family members or healthcare workers. So, how does the disease present? Well, from what is known so far, there can be a number of symptoms ranging from mild to severe. There can be fever and respiratory symptoms such as cough and shortness of breath. In more severe cases, there's been pneumonia, kidney failure, and death. The mortality rate is not known yet. How can we tell whether someone is infected? The infection can be diagnosed by a test called PCR, or polymerase chain reaction. This test identifies the virus based on its genetic fingerprint. There's currently no specific medication for the virus, and treatment is supportive care. There's currently no vaccine to protect against the virus. Treatment and vaccines are in development. How do we prevent transmission of the virus? This new virus currently has a limited geographic spread. However, there are a number of standard hygiene practices that have been recommended to protect against infection and further spread. These include covering your mouth and nose when coughing or sneezing with a medical mask, tissue, or flexed elbow, avoiding close contact with those who are unwell, the appropriate use of masks and personal protective equipment, especially in a healthcare setting, washing hands regularly with soap and water, or alcohol-based hand rub. Actions that can be taken to prevent infection from an animal source include avoiding unnecessary unprotected contact with animals, washing hands after contact with animals or animal products, and ensuring that animal products are cooked thoroughly before they're consumed. It's important to stay home if you're feeling unwell, but if you have a fever, cough, and difficulty breathing, seek medical care early and share your previous travel history with your healthcare provider. That's a quick look at this emerging infectious disease. Given that this outbreak is evolving rapidly, what's known about this virus can change. Please check the websites below for the most up-to-date information.
We will be back with more of Health and Longevity and our special program on coronavirus COVID-19 after this short break.
Would you like to live a happier, healthier, and longer fulfilled life? Then visit us at healthandlongevityradio.com. That's one word, healthandlongevityradio.com. There you'll find valuable information and resources that can help you achieve optimal health and give you the secrets to longevity. Visit us today at healthandlongevityradio.com. Once again, that's healthandlongevityradio.com. It could change your life.
In this part of the program, we're going to be sharing with you an interview that was presented by the World Health Organization addressing questions and answers on coronavirus COVID-19. The interview is presented by the Communication Officer of the World Health Organization, Dr. Margaret Harris. Dr. Harris is interviewing Dr. Maria Van Kerkhove, who is a medical expert for the World Health Organization.
Welcome to WHO. This is an opportunity for you to ask the questions you want answered about the COVID, the disease caused by the new coronavirus that has caused outbreaks in a number of different countries. I'm Dr. Margaret Harris, and I'm here today with Dr. Maria Van Kerkhove, who's our expert in coronaviruses and respiratory diseases, and is here to explain what you can do to protect yourself. Over to you, Maria.
So hi, everybody. Thanks for having me. Yes, I'm with the World Health Organization, and I'm the technical lead for this novel coronavirus outbreak called COVID-19, which I'm sure you've heard a lot about.
So Maria, what can people do to protect themselves if they're in an area where there's currently an outbreak of COVID?
So thanks, Margaret, for this question. This is a really important question because there's many things that you can do as an individual to protect yourself and to protect your family against this novel coronavirus. The first thing is very simple. The first thing is to wash your hands regularly. And it sounds very simple. It doesn't sound very exciting, but it is incredibly important that you make sure that you wash your hands with soap and water and make sure you get your kids to wash their hands as well. And if you don't have soap and water, you can use an alcohol-based rub. That's the first thing. The second thing that you can do is what we call practicing respiratory etiquette. And what that means is when you sneeze or if you cough, that you do that in a folded elbow and you sneeze or cough into your elbow, or you use a tissue and then you throw that tissue away and then you make sure you wash your hands. And the third thing that is really important is to educate yourself. So make sure that you have the latest information about novel coronavirus, about COVID-19, from your parents, from WHO, from trusted sources, and make sure that you know what the latest information is about this. This is a rapidly changing situation, and every single day we are learning more and more about this virus. And so the more we learn, the more we want you to know about this. And by educating yourself, by knowing more about this, you can make sure that you protect yourself and you protect your family.
But it's not so easy, really, to always wash your hands, to keep those hands clean. And there's another secret, isn't there, Maria? How does the virus get into your body? What whereabouts is it getting there?
So yes, washing your hands is difficult, and it is something that you have to do many, many times a day. As a mom myself, I know I tell my kids all the time to wash your hands and wash your hands regularly before you go to the bathroom, after you go to the bathroom, when you're cooking food, before you cook food, after you eat your food. You have to do that many, many times a day. But this is a respiratory virus. This is a respiratory, causing respiratory disease, which means that many people have signs and symptoms like the common cold almost. You know, they'll have a fever, they'll have a cough. Some people may have shortness of breath, which means that their chest hurts a little bit and it's hard for them to breathe. But what we know about this virus is how it transmits between people is through close contact and through respiratory droplets, which means you have to be close to one another within a meter or two, which is 3 to 6 feet. And if I were to sneeze right now on you or cough on you right now, I would pass some droplets to you. And those droplets could go into your eye, they can go into your mouth, into your nose. So you have to make sure that if you do cough, you cover your mouth so that those particles, those droplets, those little droplets don't actually infect someone else.
So when should people be wearing a mask?
So that's a good question. WHO recommends that you wear a mask if you're sick. So if you have respiratory symptoms, what you do is you wear a mask, and there's important ways in which you put the mask on and off, and we have some good videos that show a proper way to put it on and off, but you're using a mask to protect other people. So if you have symptoms and you wear a mask, then you protect yourself from getting those droplets onto other people.
And what happens if you're, say, coughing into your mask and it gets very wet at the front?
You need to replace your mask. And so this is a hard one because we do see a lot of people wear masks. They rewear them. So it's important that you take them off from the sides. You don't touch the front. You take them off from the sides, discard them, wash your hands, and put another mask on.
And when you discard them, you would make sure that you discard them somewhere safe that's covered?
That's right. In a bin that is covered. Yes, that's right.
And you mentioned symptoms. Mm-hmm. What symptoms should people be looking out for?
So the symptoms that you should be looking out for are respiratory symptoms. So dry cough, shortness of breath. Very few people actually have a runny nose or sneeze. I've just recently returned from China. I've just spent 2 weeks in China working with incredible colleagues that are working very hard to really understand this outbreak. And what they've learned from more than 70,000 cases in China is that very few people actually have runny nose or actually sneeze. Most people will have a fever. Most people will have a cough, and then some people will feel generally unwell, they'll have maybe some muscle pain. And what we do worry about is anyone that has shortness of breath or chest pain, to make sure that they seek health care very quickly.
Darren Tay wants to know if COVID-19 is airborne.
So thank you, Darren, for that question. So no, COVID-19 is not airborne. COVID-19 transmits via droplets. And what we mean are these small little particles, moisture, liquid. And these particles, when they come out of your mouth, they drop. And so that's why we say between 1 and 2 meters, anything beyond that, and they don't disperse. So no, it's not airborne. But the one thing I should say is that in healthcare facilities, what we tell our healthcare workers, and I just want to say how grateful we are to all of the healthcare workers who are working to treat patients, particularly in China, but not just in China. We know you're on the front lines, and we're very grateful for all of the hard work that you are doing. We do tell healthcare workers that when they are treating patients, sometimes they have to do procedures on very sick patients where they have to intubate them. And sometimes you have particles that could be dispersed much further than just that 1 to 2 meters. And so in those situations, we tell healthcare workers, you have to use airborne precautions. And so there may be some confusion out there when we say airborne precautions. Mm-hmm. Those are for healthcare workers performing very specific procedures, but for every day, no.
Great. The next question is there any association between the flu and between this COVID virus?
So that's a very good question too. I get that question quite a lot. So COVID-19 is not influenza. It is a respiratory virus, and so it's very difficult to determine in the early stages of illness of whether or not you have flu, or if you have COVID-19, or if you have another respiratory pathogen that's circulating around. But it is not flu. And the reason we know this is because we know it transmits a little bit differently in terms of, you know, who is most affected. who has a higher risk of being infected. It's a very serious disease, as flu is. Mm-hmm. And so for COVID-19, the majority of people, about 80% of people who get infected with COVID-19 will have a mild disease and will recover. But there is about 20% of people that will go on to develop severe disease and will require some advanced care in a hospital. But like I said, I've just come back from China. And what we learned there, one of the really most important things we learned there, is that many people who have had severe disease are now going on to recover. So it doesn't mean that if you have a severe disease that you will die. It means that you will get the right care in a healthcare facility and you have a good chance of survival. So that is very good news.
And would you say that people who get severe disease start with what looks like a mild disease but become ill, so getting to care early will help them?
Yes. So when you are infected, you do start out with a mild disease. What we look for are what we call risk factors for severe disease. And what that means is, like, are there certain individuals that have maybe some underlying medical conditions or who are maybe of older age that have a higher risk of developing severe disease? And we know that people who are over 60, people who have underlying disease like cardiovascular disease or an underlying chronic respiratory disease, diabetes, they have a higher risk of having a severe disease.
And so then we have another interesting question about treatment from Louise Vaughan Harries. She asks, if a person contracts COVID-19 and then it goes to pneumonia, will they be treated with antibiotics, or will it be treated differently because it's a viral pneumonia?
So that's a good question. So as I mentioned, the majority of people who are infected with COVID-19 will have a mild disease, which may actually include a mild form of pneumonia. And so normally you're treated based on your symptoms coming in. Antibiotics will not work against COVID-19 because that's a virus. But I know that you could have a co-infection with a bacteria, and an antibiotic may be helpful for that. But it won't actually work against a virus. Antibiotics don't work against viruses, unfortunately.
So we've got another question, which is interesting. It's a little bit about testing, and you've explained, but Carolina Gomez wants to know, what's the procedure for detecting whether somebody's got coronavirus? What do we need to know?
So the first thing is about what you can do. And so WHO recommends that if you're feeling unwell, just in general, you stay home for a few days. But if you have symptoms that have fever and have a shortness of breath in particular, make sure that you go seek healthcare early. And in that case, you would talk with your healthcare provider and you would tell them what you've been doing, you know, tell them how you're feeling, and they will ask you some questions, and they will probably ask you where you've been in the last 14 days. And so if you've been recently to an area where there is COVID-19 transmission, I think it's important to say that COVID-19 is not everywhere in the world. It's in certain places right now. It's in China. We have seen some cases in Italy and in Iran and in other locations in Korea and Japan, but it's not everywhere. And so your healthcare provider will likely ask you, where have you been? And then they'll take a sample. And it's usually a long Q-tip, and you're a doctor. Yeah, there's a long Q-tip, and it's a little uncomfortable, but it's not painful. And they'll take a sample, and then they'll do a test to see if you have COVID-19.
And that test, as we said, might take a while because they have to do a quite complex test in the laboratory.
In the laboratory,
but
yes.
But you'll know within about 24, 48 hours.
I believe that's the typical time frame, yes.
But normally, again, if we're concerned that somebody has COVID, they will probably be asked to stay in the hospital in isolation at that point?
If you're positive, yes, then you will be, I'm sure, admitted for care and making sure that, we give you the best care that we can.
Now, Sajid Ali asks an interesting question. He wants to know whether there are reinfection. Do people get reinfected? Have we seen this?
Ooh, that's a very good question. I'm not aware of people being reinfected with COVID-19. What we know is that people who develop this disease, they will be sick for some time, but for a matter of weeks. But then when they recover, I have not heard of anyone being reinfected with COVID-19, but we have to remember this is very early days of this outbreak. This outbreak was detected on, December 31st, and we're 7 weeks, or I don't even know what even the day is today, but it's 7 weeks. It's very quick. So there's a lot of knowledge that we're accumulating every single day. And so that is one of the questions that we have, and we will be looking for answers towards that in the coming weeks.
So, and we'll be appearing every day, so you'll be able to find out more. We've got the big question I've heard many, many times, comes from Joy Flores Corpus. What about asymptomatic transmission? Is this occurring?
This is also a very good question. So what we know about people who are infected with this virus, as I mentioned, most people will have mild disease, some people will have severe disease, and some people will die. There are individuals who have very, very mild disease, and some of them will shed virus, which means that they can transmit to other people. We are aware of case reports, so some individuals, a small proportion of individuals who are, I wouldn't even say asymptomatic, but pre-symptomatic, meaning it's a few days before they develop symptoms themselves. And many times when we go back and we talk to them, we find out that they truly weren't asymptomatic, which means no symptoms at all. And so when you go back and you interview them, oftentimes they say, well, actually, I wasn't feeling very well. So it's this pre-symptomatic phase or mildly symptomatic phase. Having said that, it is possible, and we do have some case reports of truly asymptomatic people that are, that can infect, but we don't believe that they play a major role in transmission. We believe that people who are symptomatic are the ones that are transmitting the virus to others.
So it's rare, but possible.
It's very rare, yes. We say not a major driver of transmission, which is a fancy way of saying we don't believe that they're the people who are most important in transmission.
And importantly, they're not the people to fear either.
Right.
And when you mention pre-symptomatic, you mean really in the early stages, maybe the first symptoms are just feeling like a train hit you, feeling exhausted and aching, but wondering if you just overdid it the night before.
Right, right. That's right. Yeah,
okay.
That's right.
So we've got a few questions about temperature now. Casey again, but it's a good question, so you get another question, Casey Carmichael. What will it do in warmer temperatures versus colder temperatures?
What will the virus do in warmer temperatures versus colder temperatures? Well, we are learning about what this virus can do in different countries. And so I think, again, this is one of the good questions that we're starting to accumulate some knowledge of. You know, there's a lot of cases in China. I don't know the percentage today of how many cases are in China compared to the rest of the world, but it's the vast majority still. And there's some colder climates there. I was in Beijing recently, but I was also in Guangzhou, which is more southern part of the country, which was much warmer. And so you do see transmission. It's too early to say if temperature, in terms of outside temperature, has anything to do with virus circulation. But we need to prepare ourselves that this virus can transmit between people anywhere that it goes. And so you need to be ready, and you need to make sure, again, I'm going to say again, that you wash your hands regularly with soap and water and make sure that you wash thoroughly, or you use an alcohol-based rub. You make sure that you practice respiratory etiquette where you sneeze into your elbow or cough into a tissue and throw that away, and make sure you keep yourself educated. Know what's going on in your area so that you can better protect yourself and your family.
And on that, yes, we're getting quite a few questions about traveling. What should you do when traveling? Kiara Maioni says, should we wear a mask when traveling? She mentions that she knows that this only helps people already infected not to spread it, but does it help preventing get it?
So there's a lot of things that you can do to protect yourself while traveling that have to do with COVID-19, but have nothing to do with COVID-19. And that is making sure that you travel when you're well, you're feeling well, you and your family, making sure, again, you wash your hands a lot, you practice respiratory hygiene, making sure that when you eat food, you're eating cooked food, or that you wash food, making sure that it's washed before you consume them. We recommend wearing a mask when you yourself are ill. And so just wearing a mask in general, but making sure that if you're having symptoms, respiratory symptoms, that you wear a mask.
And we have another interesting question from Kia from Ethiopia. What's the rate of infection in children? Are many children infected?
So hi, Kia. That's a great question. And one of the big concerns of many that we have about COVID-19. There was a really big report that came out of China. I think it was last week, where it was looking at 55,000 cases that had occurred in China, and very few were among children. I think it was 2% of those infected were among children. And that's a very low number. And that's important to know, because in flu, for example, children are really important in transmitting this virus. But in COVID-19, they don't seem to be. We don't know why yet. And so that's a big point of research and to help with our understanding of what that actually means. But even the children who are infected, many of them will have mild disease.
Okay. Well, that's reassuring.
Yeah.
And on that, again, a lot of people have young children, so we're seeing quite a lot of school closures and people then have to stay home because they have to look after their children. So again, this is something you would recommend discuss with your employers now. What are you going to do?
Yeah. Yes, this is a conversation that needs to continue to happen. As I mentioned earlier, this situation, this outbreak is evolving very quickly. We're learning all the time new things about this. Please come back to the WHO website and look at what we have posted. There's new postings every day, whether there are situation reports, which gives you an overview of the latest cases and what WHO is doing. There are Mythbusters. There are videos that can help you teach you about, you know, like I said, how to wash your hands, how to make sure you wear masks appropriately, and many other things. But please do continually, you know, read about this and look at the website and make sure you have the latest information at hand.
Now, at Diagnos wants to know the question that many want to understand is, how can you tell the difference between just a common cold or and the coronavirus?
So in the early stages, you can't. You know, in the early stages, it's very difficult. But what we say is if you're in an area where this virus is circulating, you know, it's important to either call your medical facility if you're just feeling generally unwell. But as I mentioned, if you do advance to having shortness of breath, make sure that you seek healthcare immediately and say what you've done, say where you've traveled. And then the only way to distinguish is through a test. Yeah.
Okay. We've got many, many more questions, but we've run out of time. So we're going to keep on repeating this. Keep a watch and we will be there to answer your questions. Thank you so much, Dr. Van Kerkhove.
Thank you.
And thank you, everybody, for joining us.
Thank you.
We hope you found today's program on the coronavirus COVID-19 informative. Tune in next week to Health and Longevity for more updated information on COVID-19 as we continue to face this pandemic crisis that impacts all of our health and longevity, the coronavirus COVID-19. We'll share more additional information to keep you informed with the latest on this pandemic.
Would you like to live a happier, healthier, and longer fulfilled life? Then visit us at healthandlongevityradio.com. That's one word, healthandlongevityradio.com. There you'll find valuable information and resources that can help you achieve optimal health and give you the secrets to longevity. Visit us today at healthandlongevityradio.com. Once again, that's healthandlongevityradio.com. It could change your life.
That's it for this week's program. Until our next broadcast, this is Dr. John Westerdahl wishing you the best of health and longevity.
This has been Health and Longevity with Dr. John Westerdahl, a production of Life Talk Radio. Join us again next week on the same station and time for Health and Longevity. The preceding information on this program has been general information about your health and is not to be taken as professional medical advice, nor is it intended to serve as a substitute for medical attention. Do not change your diet or exercise habits without guidance from your medical doctor, especially if you have health problems or are on medication. Do not change your medications without the advice and supervision of your medical doctor. If you have a medical condition, we encourage you to seek the consultation of a medical doctor experienced in dietary change and lifestyle medicine. And as always, we wish you the best of health.